The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Derek Dorch of the Diversa Group, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and careers. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dorch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for stopping by the show. We hope you're enjoying your summer, and we hope you have had a good time. But we're going to be talking about how we can get these federal jobs. For those who are interested in federal jobs, we want to kind of really understand the federal job market right now. What's going on? What is the state of the federal job market? What is the state of people who are in federal government? What's the state of the job seeker? Are people frustrated? Are people finding the jobs they want? Do people even still want to get government jobs? We're going to be talking about all that today. We're talking to Corliss Jackson. She's a federal job expert. She is the president and CEO of Federal Job Results. You can find her website, I think, at Corliss, is fedjobresults.com. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Well, we're glad to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Hey, you know, you spent time and you spent your federal career in OPM, kind of working up through the channels up in there and kind of left out as a higher level person in OPM. You know, you've been there, done that. You've kind of seen everything in terms of federal hiring. What would you say? I mean, you're out of it now in terms of being a government employee. What would you say right now is the state of the federal job market and or even the state of the federal government right now in terms of hiring, in terms of people morale, in terms of a number of different things?
Yeah, it's very interesting, Derek. I'm actually a consultant with a number of agencies, and I run into a lot of different folks, contractors and consultants and federal employees as well. But the market right now is a little bit interesting. The job seekers are a little bit apprehensive, but the folks who are in the government are also apprehensive because they really don't know what's going on with their organizations. So there's a number of agencies that are going through restructuring where they're going to do things a little bit differently. There's a number of agencies that haven't decided exactly how they're going to reduce their budgets, and some of them have decided to do that through staffing. And that just leaves people a little bit nervous. There's a fear factor, if you will. And, you know, a lot of people are, you know, happy that they have federal jobs and happy that they have jobs, but some of them don't have a lot of direction right now. For example, some agencies, there's a lot of vacancies at the higher levels. So in terms of strategic direction, it's missing at some agencies. So some of them have a lot of time on their hands.
Right.
Alternatively, other folks are stressed because they don't have enough employees to do the work.
Right.
I know OPM is a little bit lagging with some of their retirement processing because they don't have enough employees to actually process the retirement cases. So there's a number of agencies in different boats, if you will. Some don't have enough to do the work, and they don't have the right folks to do the work that they need to do. And others have work to do, but they really don't have strategic direction as far as what's going to happen tomorrow and into the future.
Right, right. You know, coming from OPM, and you probably have been through this whole piece of presidential transition, of new political appointees coming in, you know, to take on the higher level offices and everything else. Has this been one of the more chaotic time periods? And then also, too, along with that question, when there is this kind of moment where you don't have a lot of people in place and the transition doesn't seem to be going as smooth, you know, how does that really impact the way the wheels of government work? Does it delay work being done? Does it delay policies from being implemented? Does it delay the American citizens from being served correctly?
Oh, absolutely. And it's really tough because everything kind of comes to a screeching halt and just the most pressing things get done, but it doesn't mean that there's not other things that need to get done that are important. So it's very challenging. I've been through a number of transitions. This one is startlingly different than others because a lot of times you'll find that during a transition there's kind of a lull and there's an evaluation of how things are done and how we want to do them in the future. And it seems like a little bit more than usual, this administration has come in and made changes without kind of figuring out how they want to strategically implement those changes or what they strategically want those changes to look like and what the outcome should look like. So they're kind of making the changes very quickly, and I think that there's going to be a fallout of some very serious issues that maybe hadn't been thought of. And, you know, might be detrimental to how
there's consequences.
Operate.
There's consequences to it. And it reminds me, Corliss, of just kind of thinking about just the Twitter pieces, right, in terms of, you know, policy by Twitter and not necessarily going through the proper channels of government, that it seems as if people are almost kind of holding their breath about what's going to happen the next day. And then there's going to be something said by the president or somebody that they have to kind of respond to, but it really hasn't gone through the policy channels. I mean, have we ever seen anything like this before?
Not at all. Very different than anything I've ever seen before. And you know, the government moves slowly, and it moves slowly for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that there's things that, you know, couldn't be implemented
change
a little bit
improved.
Faster,
yeah,
and
sure.
things, good changes that could be made. But when you try to move the government too quickly, there are consequences, and there's a fallout, and there's, you know, public distress, and there's things that will happen because we're not thinking in totality.
You know, with all of that, I mean, what would you say right now is, you know, when you were in government, would you say the morale right now of some of the higher level peoples, whether it be at OPM or other agencies that you, you know, deal with and a number of different people you talk to, you know, you mentioned about kind of that fear, that apprehension. Do you kind of hear that people are kind of thinking, you know what, you know, I mean, the job market is getting better elsewhere. Maybe I'll, you know, start to really kind of put my resume out to some other different people and move on from government. What are you hearing? Are we going to lose some of the great talent that we have, you know, who are in federal agencies?
Absolutely. A lot of people are at least talking about leaving. There's a lot of unhappiness, a lot of low morale, as you say. And I think one of the interesting things is that the individuals who probably need to stay are the ones that are thinking of leaving. And that's distressing because one of the things we don't do very well in government is knowledge management. And you lose that knowledge and you have to recreate it or reinvent the wheel. And that's not what taxpayers should be paying for.
You know, with that, I mean, and that kind of always scares me when I hear that because, you know, the government has gone through these, you know, ups and downs, right? I mean, at one point in time, government was definitely a place where everybody wanted to join. So you had a lot of people trying to apply for government. It seems as if it's kind of turned around a little bit now where people are even the job seeker. And I don't know, you know, what you're seeing. But you know, because we're trying to get cyber experts, we're trying to get these certain technical experts or certain kind of policy experts or people in certain kind of fields. And some people are saying it's not worth it right now. I mean, the, you know, security clearances are taking over 400 something days. You know, the process is going this way. I don't know what if this agency is going to even be around. You know, they're talking about gutting State Department and EPA and other places like that. What are you hearing from the job seeker standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a mixed bag. Some people are, you know, just giving up on government altogether.
Okay.
And others are still really interested. I mean, if you have a public servant heart, that's where you want to be.
Right,
and
sure.
It still is a very stable environment, as opposed to maybe the contractor side of the house or the private sector. So I would say it's really a mixed bag right now.
You know, with that, I mean, you've been through the ups and downs. I mean, for people, do people look at it as if, hey, you know, it's only for this period of time. We got to see past this moment. You know, for those who have worked in the federal government, I mean, you've been there probably during some of the down periods of times at OPM and the heydays of maybe some controversy. How did you handle it when you were there? Did you just kind of say, hey, I got to kind of just, you know, put my head down and just keep on working? What was your standpoint?
Yeah, I think interesting question. It's difficult because you don't want to be in an environment where you feel that you're not valued or that your work isn't valued. But you know, 99% of us need to work and need to have a job and have an income. And I think the big difference between the federal government and the private sector is having that desire to be a public servant and to make a difference. And when you're faced with a situation that many of us are in now in the federal government, where you maybe can't make a difference because you don't have enough employees to do the work or you don't have direction on, you know, where you need to go, it can be really disheartening to think of, you know, being in an organization where you're really not making a difference. You're just a cog in the wheel.
Right. Is during this time period when there's not, I've heard that the contracting side has kind of picked up a little bit with some agencies that they're relying on contractors more to fill that work where they're, you know, there's still the dynamic that they can't bring in enough government workers, or they haven't been given the budgets to do so. But, you know, maybe the budgets, you know, for contract work is still there. Are we seeing that increased reliance on contractors?
I am not seeing too much of that.
Okay.
A lot of agencies are trying to figure out, and they were supposed to have their plan submitted at the end of June, trying to figure out how they're going to reduce their budgets. And some of them are doing that through direct staffing, so federal employment. Some of them are doing that through contracts. Some of them are doing that through deciding on different programs that they might decide not to move forward with. So I think depending on the agency, you might see an increase in contracting, but you might not in some cases as well.
We're talking to Corliss Jackson. She is the president and CEO of Federal Job Results. You can find them at federaljobresults.com. She is a former government employee who worked at OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, basically the office that deals with all the HR, deals with all the hiring, deals with all the different issues in terms of bringing people, bringing the talent on board, retaining talent, managing talent, and helping them rise up. We're talking about what's going on in the federal job market right now, but then we're going to also start talking about how, if you're a job seeker or if you're also a person in the federal government, maybe a military transition person, how can you position yourself the right way? What do you need to do with the right resume in terms of, you know, right now with the job seeking aspect of it? What are the key terms? What are some tips that we can give some people in order to help them succeed? We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch of Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about the federal job market. We're going to be talking about how to get federal jobs, but we've been talking about the state of what's going on in federal government. What's the state of some of the federal employees? How are they feeling about things right now? What's the state of the job seeker? Are people still looking for federal jobs, even in a unique period of time in which we've had a federal hiring freeze, or, you know, some of the agencies don't have all the employees. Some of the agencies need people. So there's a very, very unique time with a new administration, a new way of things being handled. But the federal government is still going to need to be around, you know, in order to handle the business of our government. We're talking about that today. We're talking to Corliss Jackson. She's the president and CEO of Federal Job Results. You can find the website at federaljobresults.com. She runs a service in which she helps people with their federal resumes, helps people in terms of interviewing coaching, helps people, the job seeker and federal employees, with their career aspects and their career process. Corliss, you had that time period in OPM, and OPM really, really kind of talks about a number of different things in terms of, you know, the job seeker, especially. You know, a lot of people also wonder, you know, what kind of position should I be looking for? How to use USA Jobs the right way? You know, what are the different kind of federal jobs and everything else? Can we break down some of the mystery real quick? You know, there's competitive service, there's accepted service, and then there's maybe some, you know, things in between. Can you break those down for us?
Absolutely. So when an individual is looking for a federal position, the whole entire process is completely different than the private sector. So you kind of need to leave that private sector, corporate sector behind and think about how the federal hiring team goes about their business. And one of the things they do is that they will rate and rank the applicants according to certain criteria. So as an applicant to a federal position, you really need to make sure that you're aligning your background, your skills, your resume with what the HR hiring team is looking for. Now, one of the things that's difficult is if you don't know what they're looking for, you don't know how to prepare your package. So a couple things about the federal application package that's different. The federal resume itself is very, very lengthy. It needs to be filled with details. And it needs to actually focus on the skills that the job seeker brings to the table.
And Corliss, let me interject real quick.
Sure.
Why is the federal resume so much more lengthier, you know, than a private sector resume? Is it because the federal government is looking for, you know, for you to explain things more? What's the rationale of certain federal agencies when it comes to that?
Yeah, so very big difference is that the federal hiring team, they are adhering to regulations, the law, and they have to make sure that they're hiring according to what the law prescribes.
Okay.
When you're looking at the private sector, there's not a lot of guidance there, so they can pretty much hire whomever they want. The HR hiring team needs to see in your resume that you're aligning with what they see in the federal regulations.
Okay.
And that's really the bottom line, Derek. You have to really make sure that you're showing them, you're proving to them that what you have aligns with what they need. So it's really important that you have those details in your resume. The more details you have, the more description you have, the more quantifiable numbers that you have, things that make your resume kind of pop out, that's going to be better for you because they need to see that you have what they need.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, people always wonder, you know, with that, because I always tell people, if you're on USA Jobs, you know, the federal government gives you so much more room, you know, to, they got you 5,000 characters per job, and they want you to pull those aspects out. And I'm sure that, you know, I've dealt with many different people and helping, you know, different people. And I'm sure you've dealt with it. People always have a hard time kind of talking about themselves or explaining their success stories. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's really hard because especially, you know, we grow up learning about a corporate resume. We don't grow up learning about a federal resume. And when we start hearing about, oh, it needs to be detailed and it needs to be maybe, you know, an average of 5 pages long, we start, you know, getting a little bit anxious because how are we going to fill in all these pages? Well, one of the things that I like to talk about are the hats that you wear in a position. So, you know, any position that you think about, you can think of about, you know, 5 to 8 roles or hats that you wear in that particular position or that one wears in that position. And those are the skills that you need to really highlight in your resume. So, for example, as administrative assistant, you might deal with information, you might deal with customers, you might deal with reporting, you might deal with administrative aspects in terms of finances. You need to really highlight all of those different hats that you wear and then describe what you do under each of those roles. And that's really going to give you a robust description of how you have that skill that the HR hiring people are looking for.
You know, when you kind of look at that aspect and kind of looking at things from the policy side of, in which agencies, because really across government, OPM really provides the guidance, you know, to all the different agencies on what HR people should be looking for. Break that down for me in terms of between the HR person and the hiring manager. A lot of times people will hear about this disconnect between the HR and the hiring manager, right? About the HR person having to follow certain rules and guidelines and the hiring manager saying, well, I want this, that, and the other. What's been your experience with that?
Interesting. So let me just tell you a little bit about the process. So the HR hiring team takes the applicant through a number of different steps, and once you get to the final step or stage, the hiring manager takes over, and they actually make the selection. So they do the interview, and they decide who they want to hire. There's always a disconnect between the HR staff and the hiring manager. I don't say always, but usually, because HR wants to do things one way, and the hiring manager just really wants to hire the best candidate. And sometimes they're at odds. And what usually happens is the HR folks win because they're the ones who enter the information into the system.
Right.
So it's definitely a little bit of a disconnect there. But what you will find is that the HR really.
And Corliss, would you find that sometimes the HR person doesn't completely understand? I mean, I'm just asking this. You know, just some people say that the HR person may not completely understand all the nuances of what the hiring manager may be looking for. And maybe there hasn't even been a complete conversation about those different kind of pieces. So the HR person is just kind of following certain kind of rules and regulations of what they think, you know, should be done. And then the hiring manager saying, well, I'm not getting all the right position or I'm not getting the right people put in front of me.
Happens all the time. And, you know, the debate is, do I have an HR person who knows the rules but might not know the technical skills,
mm-hmm.
or do I have a technical person who doesn't know the rules to make the selection?
Right.
So it's a debate that is ongoing, and you'll hear about it all the time. But, yeah, there's a lot of times that HR doesn't really understand exactly what, you know, an IT information security officer does.
Right.
And that's the person they need to hire.
You know, with all of that, how does a person navigate that when, you know, you're dealing with a person who may not necessarily understand all the pieces? I think that sometimes people take it for granted when they mention things on the resume that the first person looking at is going to understand all those kind of keywords or understand all those, you know, technical terms, and they may not.
Absolutely. And I always tell people, dumb it down, mm-hmm. so that anybody can understand it. And what happens is your resume ends up having to become a mixture or a marriage between what the HR folks want to see in terms of what skills you bring to the table, mm-hmm. broken down to the lowest common denominator, and mix that with some of your accomplishments, your results. Quantifiable if possible, because the hiring managers really want to know what's in it for me.
Right.
What are you going to do when you come to my unit? I need to know how great you are. The HR folks need to know that you have the ability to do the job. So it ends up becoming a mixture of what HR wants, and you got to give them what they want because you're not going to get through those gatekeepers and get to the hiring manager. But when you get to the hiring manager, you want to show him or her that you have accomplishments under your belt to show that you can do something in their unit. So you got to do both.
We're talking to Corliss Jackson. She is the president and CEO of a company called Federal Job Results. You can find them at federaljobresults.com. She just put out a new book. What's the name of your book, Corliss?
Cracking the Federal Job Code.
You can find it on her website, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more. I'm sure you can find it other places. We'll get into that in the next segment or so about her book and what's in the book so that people know about it. But we're talking about how to get federal jobs. We're talking about the state of the job market right now. We're talking about how people can use certain things, certain strategies to get into the federal government. And also, this is very, very useful for those who are trying to rise up in the federal government, because you're still going to have to work with that federal resume, whether you're a GS level or SES. We're talking about all these things right now. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about the federal job market, talking about federal jobs and how to get them. How do you crack the code? How do you discover some of these key secrets that you can really kind of navigate these waters and open the doors up to some of these federal jobs? Some people always say that the federal job market is like a black hole sometimes, in which you're throwing your resume out. You're not hearing anything from different agencies. We're talking about how to overcome that today. We're talking to Corliss Jackson. She's a federal job expert. She's the president and CEO of Federal Job Results. You can find the website at federaljobresults.com. She spent a number of years in OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, where they're the ones who kind of set the policy, has set the guidelines, set the determinations on how HR people hire people within federal government. So we're trying to find out some of these secrets today. Hey, Corliss, you know, when we talk about this aspect, and we've been talking about kind of the disconnect between HR and the hiring managers and other things like that, how a person needs to kind of tweak their resume the right kind of way as well. You know, I've had a number of different people, and I don't know what your take on this is. You know, when you have federal agencies who go to these career fairs and you know, they're saying, hey, go to the website and apply. And a number of people always complain that they feel like they're putting their resume in on USA Jobs or whatever kind of format that the agency is hiring through, the online format. You know, is that the only way that a lot of people, or can people do some hand delivery? Does the networking work within the federal government? What's your thoughts on that process?
Yeah, Derek, networking works much better in the corporate sector. Federal government is more streamlined in terms of exactly how they want your application to look and how they want it submitted.
Mm-hmm.
Very few agencies will accept anything other than online submissions at this point. It would be very rare for them to do that. Now, networking can work once you've made it through the process of human resources reviewing and moving you forward in the process.
Okay.
The hiring manager is the one that you want to get to. If somebody knows him or her, or you know him or her, that's fair game. And you can pick up the phone and say, hey, here I am. I've been referred and I'd like to meet with you.
There's Does that hiring manager that. Have that kind of pull to put somebody in front of the HR person and say, I want to see this person? I mean, can they kind of, you know, circumvent the process, or is the process made that it cannot be circumvented?
So what happens is that a hiring manager may ask human resources, you know, this is a person I'm interested in hiring.
Mm-hmm.
And if that person is qualified and can get through that first you know, set of hurdles, then that's fair game, and that person can move forward to the hiring manager. But if that person's not qualified for the job, the HR folks will not move that person forward, and that hiring manager just needs to select from the group of folks they did move forward.
And really, because I've had this happen where, you know, people say, I'm highly qualified, and maybe the HR person didn't see something in their resume, right? I mean, how often do you hear that? I mean, or you see somebody who definitely has the qualifications, but they didn't put the right keyword.
Yeah, it happens more often than I'd like to see. And if that is something that has happened to you and it's, you know, pretty close to the date that you responded to the announcement and you know, it hasn't been too long, I would call the HR person and say, you know, I think I'm qualified. Can you give my application another look? And several times I've had in my career where they've changed their minds about certain candidates just because of that phone call. So it's okay to call and do that.
You know, that's an interesting point, because a lot of people almost seem to have are almost fearful to call, right? I mean, they almost feel as if, like, you know, if they call, then it's going to, you know, leave a negative mark on them or the HR person. I mean, what is your you know, standpoint? And, you know, do those numbers, you know, they have that contact information on USA Jobs or other places like that. Mm-hmm. Should people call ahead of time sometimes? Should people call afterwards to check up? I mean, what's your thoughts in terms of people, you know, calling, checking on things, maybe getting some advice beforehand? I mean, you know, you've been there, done that. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on that?
So first of all, the contact information is in the announcement. In the bottom left-hand corner of every announcement, there's contact information. And, you know, we don't have a blacklist in HR. So that's a good thing.
Right, right, okay.
But I would be very kind to that HR person, because they can remember your name for the next application you submit.
Sure.
But it's A-okay to ask for, you know, any kind of advice. And they're not going to give you anything that's, you know, really earth-shattering. But, you know, some of the simple advice that I would give is just read through the announcement and do what they say.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of applications that don't move forward because somebody didn't follow the exact instructions that were listed on the announcement.
And that's something that an HR person is actually looking for, right? If you did not follow the exact instructions, is that more for the sake of, like, hey, this person doesn't pay attention to detail? Or is this by policy, we need to make sure you follow these exact instructions on what we put out there, and if you didn't, then you're just automatically eliminated?
Yeah, the latter, because they need to make sure in the HR process that everybody followed the same rules. So, for example, if they say that your resume needs to be 5 pages and you submit 20 and everybody else submitted 5,
mm-hmm.
it's not fair for them to compare your 20-pager to everybody else's 5-pager.
Right.
So I would do something like PDF it and make sure that it's 5 pages and it's not 5 pages and, you know, a line.
Right.
Because that doesn't, that won't cut it.
Right. You know, I've seen a number of different agencies and you know, kind of change, especially on the interviewing side of this. A lot of different agencies have sometimes changed where they were doing free for all interviews where everybody had their own questions to now more standardized, and they have a standard 5 questions or a standard 10 questions that everybody has to. Is that because, you know, the liability dynamics and also what we kind of talked about in terms of making sure that everybody is treated fairly with all these kind of, you know, questions and the standardization of certain things?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter. I think agencies are very interested in having a structure to the interview so that everybody's kind of given a fair shot. Agencies don't have a prescribed way or questions that they need to ask in the interview. And
mm-hmm.
in fact, the hiring manager has a lot of leeway in terms of who they can hire.
Okay.
But normally, most agencies will do a panel interview. They'll ask the same questions of every candidate. And basically, whoever gets the high score gets the job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's kind of how they flow. Now, there's ins and outs to the process, but they, you know, they really do want a standardized process so that there's a level playing field.
You know, what's your take right now? And I've had a number of different federal job seekers, especially, and you know, as we've had a number of veterans come back in the veteran preference, a lot of people have really kind of, you know, complained about the that they're going up against veterans and they're not being able to get seen because they're not getting those additional points. Can you talk about the point system and also for those who are, you know, veterans or non-veterans,
mm-hmm.
how does that work? And then how can also people be, you know, treated fairly? And also for those who are non-veterans who feel like they're constantly running up against that, you know, what's their stake in terms of the federal job process? Do you ever see them kind of be able to overcome some of those hurdles?
Absolutely. So first thing I want to do is give you an OPM statistic. 1 out of 3 new hires in 2016, I believe,
mm-hmm.
were veterans.
Okay.
So one out of three. So that means two out of three were not veterans. So that's pretty good either way. If you're veteran or non-vet, you know, that those are pretty good statistics. Veterans have preference, and we don't use, per se, points any longer. We use categories. And if there's a veteran who's disabled, he or she will be in the top of that top category. But it doesn't mean that people who are not veterans are not going to get selected. For that particular job, maybe the veteran will, you know, be at the top of the list. But, you know, there's 10,000 jobs in USA Jobs. And I will always tell my clients, apply to as many jobs as you possibly can. Make sure you're qualified for them, but apply to as many jobs as you possibly can. And, you know, I have really good statistics for folks who are not veterans who get jobs. And for veterans, there's a lot of different avenues that they can pursue as well. There's programs just for them that they can pursue.
You know, with all of that, and so kind of giving that hope and encouragement to that non-veteran, you know, that's out there, would you say, I mean, especially for the large number of jobs, you do get those people who just start kind of, you know, gunning it and applying to everything. You know, from an HR perspective, what do you advise about that? Would you rather see a person who's a little bit more targeted and kind of knows what they want to do and they've created that targeted resume? Or, you know, sometimes, and I'm sure you've seen that, is the person who's just dropping a resume and it's all over the place, right? And you know, what's your standpoint on in terms of the most effective results to get hired?
Yeah, so what I like to do is to create a federal resume that is kind of a foundation for my job search. So I will look at all of the areas that I could possibly qualify for in the federal environment. And when I say that, Derek, the government is looking for you to have 12 months experience in a certain field. So I look at all the areas where somebody might have 12 months of experience, and I will build that into a federal resume. Mm-hmm. But for each resume that I submit, I will do a little bit of tailoring to it. So I'm not recreating the wheel every time I'm applying, but I want to add some of those keywords from the duty section and from the qualification section into my resume so that the HR folks can see, you know, see that I have those keywords in there. And that's really a good strategy. Now, one of the things that I think is really important to understand is that when you're in, you know, where we are right now and with this federal government with a lot of vacancies mm-hmm. not being filled, it's really good for the hiring manager to see that you have a wide range of skills.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is the hiring manager is going to hire you to do a certain job, but they're going to hire you to do other duties as assigned as well. And so if you have a wide range of skills, that's a really, really good thing because you might be taking on some other things that other folks were doing where they're not hiring in those slots.
Hmm. That's some good advice. And I want to touch on that a little bit more. We got to take a quick break, but I want to touch on that additional piece right there in terms of, because I want to find out, and I know in USA Jobs, they have certain sections that maybe people can utilize a little bit more to maybe get those additional skill sets and qualification scene that gives them a little bit more of a fighting chance in terms of being successful with this whole job search, getting the interview, and actually winning that federal job. We're talking to Corliss Jackson. She's the president and CEO of Federal Job Results. You can find their website at federaljobresults.com. She's a federal job expert working on helping people get into the federal government, working on helping people who are in the federal government rise up throughout the federal government, and just helping people with advice, interview tips, all the other dynamics to help a person be successful. We'll be right back after this break. We're going to keep this conversation about the federal job search and really being able to be successful in it going when we come back. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we have been talking about the federal job market. What's going on? What's the state of the federal job market? There are definitely jobs out there right now that people can apply to. Although you've heard about the federal hiring freeze, although you've heard about maybe a little chaos with this new administration, the federal government is still going. They still need good people. The federal government still needs technical people, accountants, intel analysts, and a number of other people. people, despite what you sometimes hear in the news about the different aspects that are negative. So we want people to definitely still be encouraged to apply for federal jobs because the federal government does need you. But we've been talking about this right now with Corliss Jackson. She's a federal job expert. She's the president and CEO of Federal Job Results. They're a company out there helping people with their federal job search, helping people with their federal resumes, with coaching and a number of other skill sets in order to make sure that you are successful with your federal job search. Corliss, you know, we're talking about USA Jobs. There's a section that I talk to people all the time about. Of course, you have your experience section, but there's a section about kind of additional information, which is about 20,000 characters, which is almost about 4 or 5 pages of information you can put in there if you just kind of broke it down by text. Do you advise people to use all the sections when it comes to like a USA Jobs or any kind of online application?
Absolutely. So that's one of my favorite sections there.
Yeah.
The additional information section. Anything that you think is going to set you apart from the competition, you can plop it right there into that section, and the HR folks will see it in the bottom of your resume. So it's an excellent use of, you know, you need to use that space, especially if you are trying to build a lengthy, detailed federal resume and you run out of space in one of your job entries. You can continue that job entry in the additional information section.
You know, with all of that, I mean, a lot of people, do you advise that people kind of break it up with certain headings like, hey, this is these are my skills here. You know, this is some of my additional educational components. These are some different trainings that I went to. I mean, how do you recommend a person break that section up?
Absolutely. So I like to do my resumes in short, what I call sound bites, paragraph sections, little mini paragraphs that an HR person can read pretty easily. But I like to do headings for each one. So based on the topic of my paragraph or my sound bite, I'm going to give it a heading. So maybe, you know, supervisor or advisor to management or, you know, financial specialist, whatever heading I need to give that particular paragraph. And I want to make that stand out. USA Jobs doesn't do well with formatting, so I will usually put that in capital letters.
You know, with all of that, what do you recommend? I mean, of course, USA Jobs, like you said, is not great in formatting. When a person get ready to come to the interview, do you recommend they still have more of a presentation style resume that they bring with them that maybe somebody can, you know, that they can give out? I mean, for interviews, when a person comes, what are some of the tips that you give somebody to make sure that they stand out in that interview during that time?
Yeah, I like to do a networking resume, which is really the front side of one piece of paper. And I like to do that so that it's kind of a quick summary. The individuals who are interviewing you will have a copy of your resume, but the hiring manager doesn't always like to read through 5 pages of content. So I always make sure that I have some kind of summary at the top of my federal resume,
right.
But I'll bring with me a networking one-pager that really summarizes everything I bring to the table. The other thing I like to do is to bring what I'll call a success portfolio, where I have some really great information about how fabulous I am put into just a 2-pocket file folder that I can leave behind. And the concept really is that I'm doing something that probably the other candidates aren't doing. So I might put in there a one-page list of my career accomplishments. I might do a summary of my skills. I might put in an article I published or a work product. Doesn't really matter exactly what you put in there as long as you're marketing yourself in that file folder.
You know, with all of that, you've got your book out, Cracking the Federal Job Code. Tell us about the book. What's inside of it?
Yeah, so I really love my book, and I know that's probably, you know, what any author would say, but I really broke down the cobwebs that cloud the hiring process from an insider's perspective. So I want readers to understand what happens when your application goes into that black hole. What are they doing to it? What are they looking for? You know, why are they looking for this information? And then I want you to understand how to qualify for certain jobs. So a lot of our problems as federal job seekers stem from, number one, the resume, and number two, applying to jobs that we think we're a good match for, but we really aren't. So I give you a lot of criteria in this book to consider so that you can figure out exactly which jobs you should be targeting and leave the rest alone, because you're not going to move forward if you're not qualified. The other thing that I talk about in the book is exactly how to create your federal resume.
Mm-hmm.
And I give a lot of examples in there. But your resume is always going to be something that is based on your past history, but it should be a living, breathing document that shows how your skills from the past are stair steps to your future. So it really needs to highlight the things that you bring to the table that are going to meet the needs of the target organization.
You know, when a person kind of begins looking at that whole process and, you know, still kind of trying to capture that information, and I'm sure you're dealing with people who are trying to get into entry-level positions all the way to more SES-type positions and everything else, do you kind of go through the different dynamics and the different differences that a person may deal with? I mean, you know, whether it be, although KSAs aren't necessarily used the same way they used to be used, but there's still some essay questions out there. There's still times in which people have to still respond that way. Do you swing into some of that?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you talked a little bit about differences in applying. There's some jobs that you will not need to write anything for, and you just answer some multiple choice questions. And there's other agencies that want you to write a little bit. And mm-hmm. there's certain ways that you need to do that to really show that you're the expert. And we go over that as well in the book. So,
you know, with all of that, we got about, you know, about 60 seconds or so. As you kind of really, you know, talk to job seekers, I mean, if in what's some of the maybe the top three things you tell people or even people in federal government who are trying to move up? What are the top three kind of key things for their success that they need to know?
Number one, keep abreast of what's going on.
Okay.
So there's certain agencies that are going to be doing things, you know, differently, and they're going to be hiring and others aren't, and you need to figure out where you want to submit your applications. Number two, make sure you understand the application process because it's very different than the private sector, and understanding that can really help you prepare a better package. And number three, make sure that you are crafting a really well-written federal resume.
You know, with those pieces and with those top three, with number one, Corliss, how do you tell people to really keep abreast of what's going on with their agency? Is it monitoring the money? Is it just, you know, kind of constantly monitoring the website of those different agencies? Is it constantly being on USA Jobs? I mean, what are you telling people to do to know what's going on?
I like to get on different blogs and different news media and just have them send me you know, an outline of what's going on, and then I pick the news stories that I want to review.
Mm-hmm.
So Federal News Radio is one of my favorites.
Oh, hey, well, hey, that's, we glad to hear that piece right there for sure. I mean, you know, with that whole process, you know, and have you found that sometimes people can find that small kind of job information if like an agency says, hey, we need to do this, or a contract, I mean, a budget comes out to say we got to increase. Should that let a person know, oh, they may be hiring soon?
Exactly.
Thank you so much for being on the show. We got to have you back and continue to have this conversation, especially about kind of cracking the code about what's going on. You can find Corliss' book, Cracking the Code. Where can you find it, Corliss?
On my website, fedjobresults.com.
Fedjobresults.com. You can also find her services out there on her website. Is it Federal Job Results or for both? Fed Job Results?
Okay,
both of them work. FedJobResults.com. Corliss Jackson, she's a federal job expert. She's come from OPM, has done her time within the federal government. She's coming out of that aspect, so she can definitely, you know, teach you some of the secrets because she's been inside and she's seen the golden book, so to say, of how to get people jobs. And now she's produced her own things. And so we definitely want to make sure that people understand that there are jobs out there. You just got to find out the right way to do it. And Corliss is one of those people who can help you. Thank you, Corliss.
Thank you, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.